In the name of the Father and Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, everyone. One God, Amen. Good evening, everyone, and welcome again. We're continuing our challenge with the book of Isaiah, thematic theme. So, we had this our third time. We had introduction, we had two themes so far. The first one was what? Let's see if you remember. The Holy One of Israel, right? And if we can think of one thing about that, it would be what? Just one thing about the Holy One of Israel from what we discussed. You need to look at him, right? Yes. And everything that happens is because out of his holiness and away from that holiness, we are struggling, right? Remember the chart, you know, the Holy One of Israel and then calamities and hope for everyone. Okay. The second one in last week, last Saturday, was about the Savior and the Redeemer, right? The Savior and the Redeemer. And we talked about this as the one who is always want to save us, and we talked about that he's not only saving us from the enemies, but saving us also from whom? Ourselves, right? Our own, right? And getting to that, and then we talked about the Redeemer, the one that can actually, you know, brings us back again to him, right? And the connection between the Redeemer and the husband, right? The Wali, the Gu'ail in Hebrew, which is the one who actually. As you said, we ended up with this that no more you'll call me Baal, but you'll call me husband, right? It's not just like, you know, it's an authoritarian person or authoritative person, but no, he wants to have that relationship, right? Today we'll talk into, we'll start another challenging theme also, which is what, as we said before, the, you want to remember? The remnant, right? Which is another very, very, again, we all agree that you know, Isaiah is confusion, right? So that's another very confusing word also, right? When you look at it and when you read it, like, okay, are the remnant are bad? Are they good? The remnant of the enemy, the remnant of Israel, you know, is he doing this out of, you know, is he picking and choosing? This will be saved and this will be not. And, or is it based on their faithfulness or does, because they are remnant, then they are faithful. There are too many questions, right? Too many questions about that, right? Just in as a start, you know, I was looking up actually the actual word, and the first time it was mentioned in the whole Old Testament, the first time as remnant. The word in Hebrew is sha'arit from the verb sha'er, which actually brings us back again to the name of, or the name of the second son of Isaiah, which is what? Sha'ir Yashub, which means the remain or the remnant will what? Remember? Will come back, right? So, you know, it's very interesting when you see this and you see that actually the Lord, when he talked to Isaiah about naming his children, and one of them again is that theme of the remnant will come back, right? But again, who's remnant? It's kind of interesting. The first time, again, as I said, that this is mentioned was in Genesis, that specific word, Genesis 45 verse 7. If somebody can read it and see exactly what does that give us, you know, what is this all about? Genesis 45 7. If somebody can read it.
God.
Yes, go ahead.
And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance.
Okay. God sent me. Who's speaking here? Where was the context of that? If you go a little bit before that, you know, and you see that who's saying this? Joseph. Joseph, to whom? To his brothers, right? So you did whatever you did, right? But the idea here of what? That God will send me to you for what? For to preserve remnant, preserve the survivors, right? God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth. Here, that translation is not quite clear. But, you know, I'm reading from the ESV, for example, like, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, right? and to keep alive for you many survivors, right? Why? Because we knew that out of this nation, right, that came out of Egypt and then came out of it, you know, the patriarchs and Moses and, right? So this is kind of interesting to see that this is the first time that that word she'arit in Hebrew is mentioned, as Joseph is kind of like prophesying in a way to his people that, you know what, this is the reason, right? Again, if we come to some questions, if we like question that the theme of the remnant, okay, again, you know, why is it important? Why is it really throughout the whole book of Isaiah? That there are two words, or three words actually. One of them is she'arit, as we said, which is the remnant. Another one is sharid, which is like kind of close to the Arabic word sharid, which is kind of like, you know, running away, right? But that's the survivor, the remnant. Another one is actually falit, which is yaflit in Arabic, which is again running away, right? So those three words are very important to kind of look at it from the original also, because they give more understanding of that word, right? Survivor or remnant is always linked to what? That there is a disaster that happened, right? And that there are people who survived that, right? Whether again they survived because they deserve it, or they survived because they're lucky, or they survived because they were smart, right? Too many things. But it's very, very important to understand this through and within the text of Isaiah and the text of the whole plan of salvation, right? What else comes to your mind? I want to just hear from you first again, that with that kind of small little introduction, right? What else comes to your mind? Yes, Albert.
Noah, when going to the ancient world and the Bible flood, and he still preserved the remnants of Noah and his family.
Okay.
In order to
yes. Yes. And that's actually that analogy, or that bringing back again to Sodom and Gomorrah, is mentioned in Isaiah, as we'll see, right? You know, that he kept for us, right, that survivors, right? So again, people who are in the midst of sin and the midst of everything, and that, you know, as the Lord told them that he would destroy, but then there were those remnant, right? Here at this point, the remnant is, we know, like when we're discussing, when we're studying St. Peter, we know that actually Lot was what was struggling himself, right? And was being tormented by sin, right? So not necessarily that he was, you know, totally faithful, right? But there was hope. And we'll see this, where is this, why is this, again, theme is important. Yeah, so that's a good example. What else comes to your mind? The idea of remnant, the idea again of there is a destruction, right? Or there is a disaster, or there is something, and some people are left behind, right? What do you think? Yes. Okay. Exactly. Yes. 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 There are 600, right? Need not bow down to Baal yet, right? So these, in that case, those people were actually faithful, right? So they were not just kind of behind, but you know, the idea that they stayed faithful, right? And they were the source of more blessing in the future. Okay. Yes. What else? Yes.
So you know, I like to go to the dictionary. So Merriam-Webster. A small surviving group.
Yes. Yes. Small surviving group. But again, here comes the question, based on what? Like, if we're talking about the context of Isaiah, And we'll see again, you know, many, many times between those three words, specifically the two words that are more of sha'arit and sharid, these two words, which is again, you know, remnant, baqiyya, and survivors, right? These two are all over the book, right? So based on what again? It's very actually vague, right? And that's, again, that's the beauty of the book itself. Because sometimes you see that, you know, because they were remnant, that God is actually waiting for them to be reason for something, right? But something that I was reading, and I'll read it with you, and I want to hear from you, what are your thoughts? There is this passage here. Pay attention and tell me what you think about it. A further way in which Yahweh can resolve the tension between the demands of faithfulness and the demands of righteousness is to bring a calamity on the people. Okay, what does that say? Again, a further way in which Yahweh, God, can resolve the tension between demands of faithfulness and demands of righteousness. Okay, is there a tension between those two? Being demand to be faithful and demand to be righteousness? In what way that is? No, not talking about self-righteousness, right? Well, in order to be righteous, you need to be what? Faithful, right? And you need to be faithful because then you will reach the righteousness of the Lord, right? Right? It is, in a way, right? But again, because of there is that tension and there is that demand that we need to be faithful, we need to be righteous, he's saying, the author of this particular article is saying that God uses sometimes calamities in order to do what? To force people to reach that, right? Kind of have that kind of, you know, self-evaluation, have that kind of better vision and better view of everything else, right? So, yes, right. He was forced, Simon of Cyrene was forced to carry the cross. When we're discussing Mark chapter 15, the idea of forcing him to carry the cross, you know, although that became for him a blessing, right? And became for him, again, him and his family, his two children, Rufus and Alexander, right? Becoming faithful and becoming involved so much in the ministry, right?
Bueno.
Yes. Go ahead.
So, you know, this reminds me of the vision that Isaiah had. And, you know, the point came up, I think I made the point, you know, mess around and find out, you know, find out what's going to happen. You know, keep doing foolish things and just, you're going to find out.
Right. Yes. So he's, you know, because of that, again, the passage goes on, it says, to keep the people in being in a reduced form so that it can blossom again. So once there is tension, when there is pressure, right, the idea is to keep part, and we'll see this throughout the text here, when he calls, you know, Israel like the olive tree, that there has still like a few things left on the tree, right? Why? Because that is the hope of bringing something out of that, right? So the remnant here is another way of keeping, you know, bringing hope again out of what has left from the calamity itself, right? And not only that, but moreover, the idea of leftover. So another word of remnant is leftover. Again, you're you left over after something, right? Again, after Sodom and Gomorrah, after the captivity of Assyria and the Babylonians, right? There is something left over, right? But that is also very, very important, because with that, because what is the reason? What is the base of that? First, not the reason. What is the base? What is the foundation of keeping people behind? As I was saying earlier, is this like more of because they were faithful, or because just kind of whoever group that's remnant that is staying behind because out of this something else might come, or because they deserve it, or because again, what? What do you think? The idea of, let's take an example so it's more clear before we go on. Example of some of the passages here. For example, Isaiah 10:19. Isaiah 10:19. You can read it and see what are we trying to say. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, remnant, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. So what is the text saying? And daughter of Zion is left like a booth in vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber field. Sorry, Isaiah 1, 8 and 9. Sorry, my apologies. Yes. 10:19 is another one, but I want to start with 1, 8, and 9 first. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, okay? Like a lodge in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. What is he trying to say here? Yes. Yes, yes. And that's what he said. Again, this is Isaiah 1, when he started by saying the whole body is what? Sinful, right? Is sick, right? From the head to the foot. Everything is, there is nothing to cure, right? But then after he said all this thing, so this is the passage before that, right? All the head is sick, all the heart is, right? And then he goes on in verse again, 8, that the daughter of Zion stayed, right? Stayed. So in that context here, what is he trying to say? He's saying that again, that the condition, that what's happening is sin, what's happening is sickness, what's happening is death. But here he's saying that, what is the source of that remnant? The Lord of hosts. If the Lord of hosts has not left us a few survivors, how is that? How would he leave a few survivors in the midst of a whole sick body? Through what? Or by what? Or how? Through mercy. Okay. That's a very good point. Right? For what reason? Through mercy, for what reason? Let me read this to you. The preservation of the leftover, of the survivor, is an act of mercy. The remains are not people who deserve to survive any more than Saul of Tarsus deserved to have the Lord appear to him. Right? Like Saul of Tarsus was just on his way to kill more people, but the Lord said, okay, well, wait a minute. I'll change you. Right? They are simply the fortunate beneficiaries of the fact that Yahweh is giving scope for mercy to the people as a whole. So it's part of God's plan, right? Not necessarily because they deserve, not necessarily because they were better than others, but what God wants, God, again, look at the whole scope of the salvation, right? So he kept some, right? Yes, go ahead. Okay. Very good question. So the question here is, if Abraham, as we can look at him as remnant, right, or kept something, was that because he was faithful, because of his faithfulness? St. Paul answers this. No, his faith. Not faithfulness, his faith to follow God, right? And we know very much through the life of Abraham that he was really, in several points that he really kind of still didn't believe at one point, right? But his faith, right? So the idea here again that that God has a plan for the salvation of the whole world, right? God has a plan for salvation for me. So we can bring this back to us, to our lives, right? God has a plan for me. That plan is to become, right, united with him, right? So he would, if we talk about that whole idea of remnant as a reflection on our life, he would allow me to go through the fire, right? To go through the destruction, to go through the calamities, but he will keep part of me, if I may say that, right? Part of me still have that sanity, right? Why? Because that from this, as you will see, he will bring the glory, he'll bring the restoration, right? That's why I'm saying this theme is very, very important, and it's very, very confusing. It's very confusing because as actually I was reading more and more about it, it says like it's that theme is very, very has more ambiguity. Like, again, even the name of the son of Isaiah himself, the remnant shall return. Who's remnant? Right? He's destroying the enemy, or the remnant of the enemies, or the remnant of Israel, or the remnant of the northern, right? Who are you talking about? Right? To the point that as I was reading, one of the scholars said, it all depends how you read it. One of the examples of that, one of the verses that I actually personally love in Isaiah, where he says that with all this, his hand is still stretched, right? And you look at this, some people look at this as his hand is still stretched out to save. And some people look at, no, his hand is still stretched out because he's still punishing, right? So that's that hand that's still stretched. Is it out of love? And out, in both cases, it's still out of love, right? But how we can take it, that no, he's still stretched out that, to save the remnant, right? Or he's still stretched out to actually cause, no, I'm going to struck you, right? But again, that is the beauty of studying this within the whole scope of the book, not actually as a single word by itself or a single verse by itself. Any thoughts so far? If you're confused, let me know. Yes, Karina. Okay. Yes. Yes.
But now in Isaiah, so that hasn't come yet. But to only think of God, like if he saves you from a calamity or through a calamity, and he shows mercy to a group of people that may not get martyred. But I think he also showed mercy on the people who were faithful and they were martyred
Right.
because they're doing a different
In a
job
different job. Yes.
because
Yes.
it's multi-dimensional.
Right. Yes. That's multidimensional theme. Right.
Somebody else's life
Right. Right.
as where you were faithful, therefore
Therefore, you were saved. Right. Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Yes. You'll be merciful. Right. Right. Yes. I love that idea that multi-dimension or several dimension for the same theme itself, right? Again, one of the things that comes out of this, for example, it is not that the people survive because they turn to Yahweh. Rather, they must turn to Yahweh because they have survived. See? So the idea of the remnant again, Okay, if again, let's apply it on ourselves. Let's forget about Isaiah for now, right? If really, you know, something happened and you know, I was that remnant, you know, something that really, you know, whatever, and God's mercy, God's love, you know, kept me, right? Not necessarily, and a lot of people, actually, we hear this, a lot of people, but Father, I don't even deserve to get out of this whatever. I don't deserve that. But because of that, you know what? I'm committing my life to the Lord. Okay. That's a very, very important point. Again, that text is very important. It is not that people survive because they turn to Yahweh. Rather, they must turn to Yahweh because they have survived for the sake of the future of the people as a whole. Okay. So if I go through something like that, right, and I know that, you know what, God, you know what, I know that I didn't deserve at all to save me out of this, 100%. And again, we hear this all the time, right? But because of that, you know what, I really understand now. I have to be faithful because you were with me. You brought me out of this whatever, right? And that will reflect on, this is something will be my witness, right? My testimony for everyone, right? Not again with my words, so as you were talking on Wednesday, you have to be silent, right? But with my life, with my behavior, with my understanding of everything, right? We always say, like, okay, like, we have that question, like, why would God do this and this and this to somebody, right? And then we always say, well, it's a test of faith. Like, but you know that, you know what, you know, I wouldn't survive that, right? I think that statement here is very, very, very in place, right? Because why wouldn't I survive? Sometimes because I don't really recognize, you know, God's presence, right? And even if I do, after the fact, it doesn't really show that the genuine faith that I want to have, that I want to have, right? So it's again the idea of not necessarily because you are faithful, but because you ought to be faithful after you recognize that you are the remnant, right? This is one thing. Another, you know, understanding is when let's go back to that text that that he puts in where is it? Show you here in a second. There's a beautiful text talks about that, about the tree, right? Isaiah, as we said earlier, Isaiah 10:19. Let's go back to Isaiah 10:19, because this text is very, very important. Talking here about Israel, okay, from verse 17. The light of Israel will become a fire, and his Holy One a flame. And it will burn and devour his thorns and briars in one day. I can't read, sorry. The glory of his forest and of his fruitful land the Lord will destroy. The glory of his forest and his fruitful land the Lord will destroy, both soul and body. And it will be as when a sick man wastes away. The remnant of the trees of his forest will be so few that a child can write them down. What is he saying here? That's another very good example of that theme of the remnant. Yes. Right. Yeah. The The fire he's purifying is taken, is devoured the thorns, right? Yes. 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 The purpose is the purification, right? Yes. Into that remnant thing, right? Because of that, you know, again, the remnant of the trees of his forest will be so few that a child can write them down. So what does that say when there is a, when you know, again, a whole big forest, can anybody count the trees in a forest? No. But can a child count the remnant? Yes. So what's happening here? There are very few left. There are very few left, right? Imagine a whole big forest. Nobody, and the text is beautiful, actually. Like a child, you know, you don't need a mathematician, right? You know, a person can walk into a forest, like, where can I start from if I want to count this, right? But the remnant that the Lord will keep, a child can count the remnant. What does that tell us?
Yeah, why not? Like, there's many hope. Because even if, I don't know, anything in my life go badly or not the way that I want them to, still, there is always, some good that I can, even if it is very, very little, there's always, you know, the goodness of God, you know, somewhere.
So it's always good to see that there is hope out of something that's still left over, that means there is something that will still happen. Right, definitely. But there's something else also that's very important from that particular metaphor. Right? The remnant always is proof that there was what? But at one point, that was the forest. Right?
Point that the remnant is very, very small compared to the many that are not the remnant.
The remnant is very small, but not that's not exact. That's not only the point. The point that it's a proof that at one point there was something. Right? There was what existed before.
The point,
go ahead, Dr. Sagar.
A point is that. The fire represents the trials of or the chastening of the Lord to Israel, and the remnant represents a child who will count the few trees in the forest.
Yes, yes, the child and what is left over after that destruction, whatever left over is that remnant also, right? That shows that because there must have been something went wrong, that's why everything is destroyed except for this, right? So again, if you see on the news, for example, a tornado went through the whole village, and then, you know, there is a couple of homes that are left, right? And you see the picture, what do you see? You see destruction, you see frustration, you see loss of everything, but then you see what? A home standing by itself, right? So that was a proof that something was there, but it's gone, right? Right? And also there is a proof, as we're saying, that there is a hope that's coming out of this. Right? The idea, again, for the people of Israel, that the Lord kept that remnant because out of that will come home the Messiah. Right? But also, it is the good reminder of the what you're talking about before, the judgment and the mercy. Right? There has to be judgment, right? You can't just like, okay, well, you guys are okay. You're going to be fine. Just leave you alone for another 400 years or something. Maybe something will happen. No. Okay. And also the idea of that uncomprehensible mind of God, right? You know, I really, you know, stopped a lot at that point of, is this out the remnant, whoever is remaining? You know, which one comes first? Are they, because they're faithful, they are remnant, or because they remain, they have to be faithful. I couldn't find an answer, honestly. Right? But it shows something. It shows, again, that God is using whatever condition, whatever situation, whatever, how the people react. Maybe that remnant, right? If they knew that they were faithful and that's why they were saved, they're not going to be saved anymore, right? Or maybe that saved person that is really down to earth and really have very, very, very self awareness that I don't deserve anything, but here I am. I survived this tornado. Well, God is really good. I have to really believe in him, right? Dave, yes.
That means that isn't knowing God at that particular moment, their life is spared. But he knows this person's heart, know where they can go.
Yes.
Potential lives,
yes.
Is my thinking. I think that because there's so many of these miracles that happen, say, with Muslims and Hindus and others who have no relation to Christianity, really, but they find their way to it in a strange, miraculous way. It seems to imply that only God knows where their heart lies, and right, that they're going to find God when they have gone through
right, yes,
and seen a vision or whatever, you know, in Cyrus, and
yes,
you see the vision. These are people that aren't, quote, Jewish, or they're not, you know, particularly the religion of the day, but Jewish or Christian, but they have within them the heart,
yes,
that God leads, and we can't see it.
We can't see it.
Curious as
right,
why is this person surviving? I don't know. Right. They don't. They're just another farmer.
Right.
I
mean, yes. We can't see what God sees. Yeah. Right. Back again to Saul. Like, oh, he's seen something. Right. Like, why choosing him? But like he told him, like, you know, I know your heart. I've chosen you. Right. Back again to Abraham. Like, why? Right. And based on what? And that's why the like one thing we get out of this is, again, we can't just look at things on the surface and isolated from the whole scope of life, right? For example, like if we read Isaiah 37, 31 and 32, right? Let's read this and see exactly where is this, or what does this leads to. Isaiah 37, I said? Yes, 31 and 32. Yes. What does it say? And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Okay, now we're talking about something else. And the surviving remnant of the house, right? Say again. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So here again, the reason for having a group that is remaining, this is coming out of what? Zeal of the Lord. What does that mean? It's kind of, again, well, it's more confusing now. You know, so he said it comes out of the mercy of the Lord, comes out of the judgment of the Lord. Here it comes out of the zeal of the Lord. Zeal for what? For Jerusalem, right? Right? For the daughter of Zion, again, right? For his handmaid, for me, right? Right? For his own creation that he loved so much, right? So I will use whatever, again, the whole, you know, the scope of the scripture is very important. Athanasius used this term all the time as we study the Bible, the scripture, right? Because let's look at the scope of the scripture. Yes, the scope is what is God becoming man, so man becomes God. Unite with him. Right? Because of that, you know, as it says here, and the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward. So what will make them establish that root in the ground, and because of that, they will bring up fruit also upward. because they've seen the struggle. They survived, the survivor again, right? They survived. They seen the destruction. They seen the captivity. They seen the city under siege, right? And all the horrible things that they did, right? And not finding food, and to the point of eating their own babies, and it's something that is like, whoa. But God's zeal, you know, I will keep something. Because that, when you get out of that destruction, I know you're going to be very strong. To the point that you're going to have, you know, root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and out of Mount Zion, a band of survivors, the zeal of the Lord of hosts do this. Yes. Chapter 10?
Yeah.
Yes. You can go back. We said we're going to be all over the book. So 10:20, Isaiah 10:20. In that day, the remnant of Israel and the survivors of the house of Jacob will no more lean on him who struck them, but will lean on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Here again, the Holy One of Israel. In truth, a remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will return. Destruction is decreased, overflowing with righteousness. Here again, what I talked about earlier. For the Lord God of hosts will make a full end as decreed in the midst of all the earth. So that's a very good point, Dave, because out of this, what we can see is what? Is having remnant, that means that his job was not fully complete, right? If I want to destroy everything because I'm done with you, I'm done with you, right? But the fact that he is leaving a remnant is saying what? There's still an opportunity. There is still a chance. I'm using this just as a tool, right? To bring back that glory again, right? But I'm not done. I'm not done in a good way and in a bad way, right? I'm not done because I still want to revive you. I'm not done because I'm still, my eyes is on you. Back again to the idea, the Lord's, you know, his hand is still stretched, right? Whether it's stretched because I'm still working with you and on you, or stretched because I want to still what? Keep you, right? Again, that verse is very, very intriguing to me always. You know, it's repeated itself like 4 or 5 times within one chapter. And I always kind of like ask myself, why is that? And what is the meaning of that? Is this something good or something bad, right? But the idea again that, you know what? It's God. God's scope is always good. Let's keep this in mind. That's really helpful. God's plan, God's scope, God's intention is for our restoration again. Can you use the calamities? Yes. But with that, and what, I'm going to keep few, right? Not those few because they deserve it, but because what? Because of my mercy and my love and my zeal. And because I want to get out of that group, what? The glory and the fruit. Dave, yes, sorry. Yes.
So they were dependent.
Yes, yes. Well, they had that alliance with Syrian and with Egypt, and right, they went to start to find some kind of refuge in other countries, other powers, right? Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
So, Buna.
Yes, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, going back to Isaiah 37, that the verse 31, Judah, you know, shall again take root downward. Maybe you don't agree, but I almost could see this as going downward into hell. This is Christ going down into hell, because downward, we tend to think of the earth and, you know,
But the text, the context of the verse here doesn't refer to that. It refers again that you need to be rooted in order to come up with fruit, right? So being more established, more strengthened, more able to receive the nutrition, right? In order to be able to also bring the food and bring the fruit, I mean, right?
Yeah, I suppose that's more obvious reading.
So, like in different kinds of conventions. Yes.
So we have Old Testament, we have the time of the Messiah, a new covenant, which we now live in for the last 2,000 some years. But there are still things to come, and he talks about remnants there.
Yes. Well. Yes.
So how does that talk into our lives? Like, what kind of people do we ought to be? With this whole remnant thing.
But in the book of Revelation, the remnant idea are actually the people who are able to continue to be faithful, right? And we're able to survive all the tribulation that comes throughout the whole world and towards the end of the days, right? In order to be restored again, right? So in a prophetic way, I actually see the same parallel, right? Because again, as we'll see here, you know, when he talks about the glory of Israel, the glory of God that will be actually as crown on the remnant, right? Why? Because, you know, he left in the context of Isaiah, he left them in order to come out of them hope and glory and the Messiah, right? But also in the book of Revelation, the remnant who survived, literally survived all the tribulation in order to still enjoy. So the difference here, not that out of you will come the Messiah, but out of you will come actually what? Eternity that you were going to live and to enjoy, right? Does it make sense or not? The idea again of the struggle that the church will go through, right, and then the faithful, right, will be able these in at that context of Revelation, the faithful will be the remnant that will be actually able to be with him forever, right. Another quick couple points also here with that theme of the remnant is very close to this. Let's see Isaiah 4, verses 2 and 3. Isaiah 4, 2 and 3, and see what is he talking about here. In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the survivors of Israel. Again, the survivors of Israel. And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. So here is what. In that day here, what is he talking about? Who is the branch of the Lord? The Lord, right? Jesus. Shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be pride and honor of the survivors of Israel. So again, out of that remnant, out of that people that will be, you know, saved, will come the Lord himself, who will be the glory and the beauty of his own people, right? So in that sense, the people who escaped, right, can be recipient of that majesty, can be partakers of that majesty, right? So leaving some people, leaving the remnant, right? Whether again they are faithful, they are not faithful, out of God's love, out of God's mercy, right? But he, because out of this will come the branch who will bring majesty and beauty for the whole, back again to the whole humanity, right? They can be called holy, right? And it goes on, in that day, the Lord of hosts will be a crown of glory. Beauty to the remnant of his people. It'll be a glory, crown of glory and beauty for his people. Right? Now, if we apply this again to ourselves, you know, when God, you know, allow us to survive whatever calamity that is, right? You know, with that mindset that, you know, that will be actually a reason for us to participate in the glory and the beauty, right? We don't see that. In the midst of the calamity, we see all the darkness, right? We see all the anxiety, the hardships, the problems, right? But again, the Lord said, like, this is actually something that I've started with my people from the day, from the time that they got lost, right? And I'll continue to keep that remnant. I'll continue to keep that small group, because I'm looking at the whole after, in that day, the day of the Lord, the day of the messianic era that we're living, that will be glory and beauty for everybody. And again, that, you know, again, the reason this theme is very important, because it's lost in the midst of all the confusion of Isaiah, right? And we read it all the time, the remnant, the survivor. What does that mean? Like, who are these people, right? Why were they saved? I mean, is it, again, as you said, are they, you know, because they're good, because they're bad, because, you know, that's not the point. The point is the Lord wants to reign over his people one more time. So he's keeping that remnant, again, as I said, as a proof, number one, that there was something here, right? There was something that maybe people didn't live faithfully, right? As a proof of hope of the future, because out of that will come the branch. As a proof of God's mercy, right? It's kind of funny, actually. Just remember now. Kind of funny when you look at one point. We were reading this in the prophecies a couple Wednesdays ago, right? When I think it was in Exodus, when the Lord is actually telling Moses, "No, let me destroy all the people and start so fresh." And Moses is the one who said, "Like, please, no." Right? Like at one point, God Himself. Okay, it shows again. What we were talking about, like, you really cannot understand how God works, right? Like, you're asking Moses, okay, kind of taking a permission from Moses, okay, let me destroy these people and just give you a full, fresh group. And Moses said, like, please don't give them another chance. Right? So with that, I think that theme becomes very, very, very actually personal in a way, right? Because I look at it as that remnant is me every time, right? Okay, forget about Israel, forget about Assyria, Babylonians, forget about all those things, right? It's God's way of showing that, you know what, he is giving me a new day every day. And that is, he's keeping that remnant, right? Maybe I can look at myself and say, what, I'm full of everything, right? But no, in the eyes of God, he has kept a remnant. There's something in me that he looks at and said, no, this is what will bring the glory. Right? It's a very, very hopeful theme. Very hopeful theme. Again, the idea again that keeping a remnant means that he is not fully destroyed. Right? That his anger didn't just fully, okay, let me. Even when he did this with the flood, he still kept the remnant. Right? And that's very obvious with the story of Noah, right? And the same thing with Lot, right? My love is still there. I am a jealous God. I don't want to destroy you. Right? So I'm going to keep a remnant. think the one thing that we can challenge ourselves is try to find that remnant in my heart. What is it? What is it that God really say? What there is that peace that I kept there, right? And you know what? I'm gonna work on this. The peace that's in me that still longs for God, right? Our eyes are always looking at the disaster, right? Our flaws. So again, it's good to evaluate and to be self-aware. But in the midst of all that, don't let that remnant disappear. But that's what God is keeping, and for a reason, right? And very hopeful reason, and very beautiful reason, to be a crown for the remnant. It's beautiful. That verse is beautiful, to be crown, right? For the remnant. That in that day the Lord of hosts will be crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. The remnant is not just that neglected part that just kind of stayed there by accident or by chance or because they're just lucky. No. The one thing that God is keeping in my heart is not just because, you know, he overlooked it or it's there for whatever reason. No, it's there to be the crown of glory. Crown of glory. I think it's beautiful when we try to really look at that and find it and ask God, like, really, what is it? What is it in me that you're keeping? What is it? Maybe it's that small longing to him. Right? That's remnant. Maybe it's that still part that tells me, you know what, I belong to him. That is the remnant. Maybe it's that, just one last thing to conclude. Remember the story, I can't remember who was it in the fathers, the desert of the fathers. The person that was really, the monk that was really lazy, didn't do anything and didn't pray and didn't keep his rule or anything, right? And then somebody, a poor person came to him to ask for something. And he took one of his hard, old, dry bread and he kind of threw it at him. Here you go, just get away from me. Right? And it happened that monk, I think, had a dream that he is dying, right? Or he is dead. And then all what he has, all those, right, horrible, bad things that he's done. He never kept his rule. He never been loving to his brothers. He never did this. And all of a sudden, the one thing that really kind of, you know, gave him that hope is that dry bread that he hit the poor beggar with. Right? That is the remnant. It's a beautiful story. Right? God left all this, all the bad things and all the laziness, all the everything. Look, there is remnant. Even if he did it, even out of what? Just get away from me. I'm tired. Just go ask somebody else. Here you go. And if you're not aware of that old dry Egyptian bread, it's hard. It can really hurt, right? But that was the one thing, the remnant that he left in his heart and looked for it and said, no, because of this, there is hope. I think that's the whole idea of this theme, right? Is to find that remnant and to know that God is searching for that. And God is keeping that in us. There's nothing called that I'm a bad person. There's nothing called that, you know, there's no hope in me. There's nothing called that, you know, I've tried before. Search, and find the remnant. Said, thank you, God, for this. And knowing from that remnant will become the glory of the whole, not only me, but for everybody else to serve. God bless. We'll continue. Couple more themes. I actually have to leave again to Egypt tomorrow after service because of family issues. So there won't be Bible study or Vespers this coming Thursday. We'll continue after I come back, God willing. But again, tomorrow service as usual. This coming Wednesday, there's no service. This coming Friday, there's no service. Father James will come from Chicago and pray here Saturday the 13th instead of Sunday the 14th. And we'll keep you updated with everything, God willing. So again, no Bible study next Saturday. It will, God willing, the following one, hopefully. Okay, let's pray. In the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love, your zeal, your mercy, your goodness, Lord, that you always keep remnant, Lord, for yourself, Lord. Because we are your creation, we are your handmaid, Lord, and you never let us, Lord, be destroyed. Even, Lord, the potter, Lord, that the lump of clay went bad, Lord, you brought the same thing again, Lord, and allowed him to restore it and renew it and became a glorious vessel, Lord, for you. Praying for my brothers and sisters, for everyone, Lord, that's struggling, Lord, for all those who are away from you, for those who want to leave you. For those who have no one to remember them, Lord, remember them. Hear our prayer and supplication. Allow us, Lord, to live what we hear, Lord, and hear what we live. Lord. Prayers of all your saints in your name, Lord Jesus, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Christ Jesus, pray in the power of the Lord. May the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, the coming of the Holy Spirit with you. Go in peace. Peace be with you all. Amen. Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks, Father. Good night.